Find your perfect fit with a custom suit from Indochino. From timeless classics to bold statements, you can express your style exactly how you want. Get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more at INDOCHINO.com with code PODCAST.
This is Legal Live with Eddie and Chuck Farah. They're talking the latest legal news and answering your questions. To call Legal Live and ask Eddie and Chuck a question, grab your phone and dial 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045.
Welcome. You're listening to Legal Live, brought to you by Farah and Farah on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Feel free to give us a call today on this beautiful Saturday. Our number is 855-765-1045. I'm your host, Shefalika Bhatnagar, and today I'm joined by Eddie and Chuck Farah. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Yeah, Shefalika, it's good to be here.
It's good to have you.
It's good to be anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, love to have you here at Legal Live. So
that's right.
We love you live on Legal Live for sure.
We do. We've got some great topics today. Where do you want to start?
Well, your phone calls are the priority. So we're going to wait. We'll talk. We'll expound on cases and things we're involved in and that we hear about. And hopefully you can use some of that information in your world, and hopefully you don't get in a situation where you need to use the legal system. But if you do, hopefully this will help you out. And what I'd like to start talking about is a situation that we had in our office this week. I know this water cooler talk is really good because you pick up things that the insurance companies are doing and that can be helpful to our listeners and your friends and family. But we had a situation this week in our office where somebody was involved in an accident. It was a T-bone collision. We represent two people in the car. They go to the emergency room. One of the passengers has to stay in the hospital for a couple of days. And the other one was released, but he was injured also. So we find out, we pull the accident report, and we find out that the at-fault driver is a rental vehicle, like, you know, Hertz or Avis or somebody like that. You would think that if there's a rental car involved, there's a lot of insurance because, I mean, they're a Fortune 500 company. They got tons of insurance. But the rental car companies went to Congress years ago and changed the law to where they're not responsible for their negligence if their car is involved in an accident. It used to be if a Hertz vehicle or an Avis or Enterprise caused an accident, the company was on the hook, just like you're on the hook. If you own a car and you loan your car out to your neighbor or one of your children and they cause an accident, you as the owner of the car are responsible, okay? But
generally that's a good law.
Yeah,
because it keeps you, the owner, responsible. Make sure that your car is being provided to someone who's, you know, knows how to drive and
You're mindful who you lend it to.
So the car, I mean, the Hertz, you know, and the at-fault driver, the attorney in our office calls Hertz because when you lease a car, you can purchase coverage. Hertz is like, or the rental, I shouldn't say Hertz because I don't know if it was Hertz.
But Eddie, back to the Graves Amendment. Yeah. Remember how that was passed?
Oh, yeah, that was the rental car companies lobbying Congress to do it. I mean, they went to Congress. There was the rental car companies used to be responsible when their car caused an accident. They lobbied. They got
just
powered.
As any other owner.
They lobbied. They went to Congress. They lobbied Congress to pass the Graves Amendment. The Graves Amendment gave them this immunity. But
so I remember being a midnight type thing that was added to the back of a bill that had really nothing to do with rental cars or anything.
So our attorney called the insurance company for Hertz. And or whoever, I keep saying Hertz. I don't think it was Hertz. So I just use that as a generic term for a rental car company. Mm-hmm. And the insurance company says, well, as a rental car company, we only have $10,000 worth of coverage. Our clients' claims are worth much, much more than that. So all we have is $10,000. So the next thing you do, you look to the at-fault driver, because if you rent a car, your car insurance that you have on your personal vehicle follows you around. So you have coverage, under, typically, unless there's an exclusion, and most of them have coverage. So if I have insurance with Allstate and I go rent a car and I cause an accident in the car that I rented, my Allstate policy will cover me, typically.
Okay.
So you don't have, a lot of people don't purchase the additional coverage because they've already got it through their car insurance, if they have enough.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know.
So anyway, but this person, so we thought, okay, this rental car company only has 10. Maybe this driver has coverage on his vehicle. Well, we come to find out that he doesn't own a car, so he has no insurance. So the next thing was, well, we started thinking about it. Well, we looked at the accident report. We find out the person doesn't live in Jacksonville. They're from some other state. So we go, okay, they don't live here. They're here renting a vehicle. Why are they here? Come to find out, we did some investigation, found out where that person worked. We saw that the company was based out of Texas and that they did business in Florida. So we put two and two together and we figured, oh, this person's probably on business.
Mm.
Okay, he's probably here on a business pursuit. So we found out that person was here on business. So what we were able to do was to tie in his employer because he was in the course of scope of working. Therefore, his employer was responsible for the accident.
Oh, wow.
So even though his employer wasn't listed on the accident report, even though there was nothing in the accident report that he was here in Florida on business, through our investigation, we were able to determine he was here on a business pursuit. His employer was responsible, and now there's a commercial policy in play. So that's why when you're in an accident, you can't just look at the accident report to see the name of the insurance company. You can't take the accident report for granted. You have to talk to a lawyer because the lawyer will do the investigation for you. He'll find out where the coverage is, if there's coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a perfect example of a person who thought there was only $10,000, and now there's a big commercial policy in play to take care of those injuries. And none of that was on the accident report. And you're not going to get that from, you're not going to get that from the at-fault driver. You know what happens after an accident? His employer and his insurance company says, don't talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. Don't give any information. You know, he's not going to call to see if my client was okay. My client never got a call from this person asking him, hey, I'm sorry about what happened. No, he goes about his business. He moves on to his job. He's not talking to anybody. And unless you do the work and unless you do the due diligence, you're not going to find out if there's any coverage for that accident. So the moral to that story is, if you're in an accident, always get a lawyer. Talk to the lawyer. He'll do the invest. If he's a personal injury lawyer, if he does this day in and day out, if this is what he does for a living, hopefully he's going to investigate your claim and find out really what's going on.
And that's what they do at Fair and Fair.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
It.
So you got, I mean, that's got to be a fun conversation to have with his boss, though.
We went from a $10,000 policy to a seven-figure policy.
My goodness.
Yes.
And all those emergency room fees, all those pains and
damages,
now there's an actual opportunity to pursue the funding that's
paid.
Needed.
Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Anyway,
well,
that was what happened this week. I heard that story and I wanted to share it.
That's incredible.
Because it's a happy ending story. Because let me tell you, a lot of times, unfortunately, you know, in Florida, since you don't have to have liability coverage, I think like 20-30% of the people don't have any insurance. So a lot of times people are severely injured, like this lady was,
mm-hmm.
yet there's no recovery. And that's a real bad thing. Being injured is bad enough, but to know you're not going to get paid for your injury, and that you may lose wages, you may lose time off of work, you're not going to be able to pay your bills, and there's no recourse. And the guy that caused the accident, it's a civil case. He's not going to jail. This is not a criminal matter.
Right.
I mean, so he's going about his business. He's going to the golf tournament. He's watching, he's watching March Madness.
Uh-huh.
You're laid up in the house wondering how you're going to pay your bills. So
yeah. That is a happy ending.
Yes.
I can only imagine what the water cooler is like at Fair and Farrah.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stories like that, Shafalika.
I can't wait to hear more. You're listening to Legal Live, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah on 104.5 WOKV Jacksonville's News and Talk. We've got a caller on the line to come back to, you, gentlemen. We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back. You're listening to Legal Live, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. We've been having some great conversations during the break, but gentlemen, we've got a call. You want to go right into it?
Sure.
Let's go for it. We've got Linda from Ocean Way, and you got a question about a servicing company. What's going on, Linda?
Yes, thank you guys so much for taking my call, and I hope I can explain it to you. It involves, let's say mortgage company A transferred my mortgage to company B. In the process of the transfer, I failed to put the 28 cents to the payment. So the payment was short 28 cents. Mortgage company B never notified me that the mortgage payment was short 28 cents. And the actions they took was to contact all of the credit bureaus. My credit score was 841. It fell from 841 to 710 because no notification was given to me by letter. No notification was put on the mortgage statement. And I want to know what recourse do I have, because on the Consumer Financial Credit Bureau, it states that if a mortgage servicing company receive a payment that's short, they should deposit this in the suspense account or notify the borrower by making a statement, putting a statement on their statement that they were short. Some kind of way to make them be aware, because the bill, the payment was made by bill pay.
Yeah. Was this over? Was this just a 1 month payment? Was it over the period of time?
No, it was 8 months that it was short. 28
months.
Cents.
Okay. And it was it auto pay? I mean, or was it a check that you
The payments was made by bill pay. Wells Fargo bill pay.
All right. So
I have the front and the back of all of the checks to show. That's all was made, but I didn't realize it for 8 months.
Have you reached out to the mortgage company, Mortgage B?
It's the mortgage servicing company from hell, so it's no reaching out to them.
Because that's, I mean,
a computer-generated thing.
Well, there may be, so you just sort of miscalculated, you saw the wrong amount. I mean, is that what happened? Was it like
when I changed mortgage servicing company?
Right.
I just left off the 28 cents.
Yeah,
It was an error.
Yeah.
But if it had been put in a suspense account, which Consumer Financial Protection Bureau states that if the mortgage payment is short, that's the two things they should do. They notify you on your statement you get each month that it was a shortage and or put the payment in a suspense account.
Yeah. Okay. Here's what I can tell you. You know, we're a personal injury firm, but I know someone who I think has the answer for you. So if you want to leave your phone number, I will call you next week and give you that information. It may not be until Tuesday, because I'm going to be busy Monday, but I know someone in that area of work, in the mortgage servicing area, that I can reach out to and talk to.
Thank you so much.
And give you that. I mean, I thought, have you tried to contact the credit people, whoever it is, Equifax or whoever?
First of all, did you pay the 28 cent? Did you make it correct? I think
because the credit was destroyed, I didn't do anything, but I did reach out to the office of the state attorney, Consumer Financial Bureau. And they wrote this mortgage servicing company a letter and asked them told them that they had 30 days to reply to me and to them.
But
I did get a reply finally. They would never talk to me on the phone. They would never give me any information. It was like, we don't care. It was 28 cents. And in the letter that they wrote back, they stated that they advanced me the 28 cent payment. When in the hell did a mortgage servicing company start advancing any amount that was shortage in a payment.
Yeah, yeah. Belinda, here's the thing. I know that there are avenues of relief against the credit agency. Have you tried to contact them? Because you can dispute.
I'm in the process of doing that now.
That's
all
where I think you get, that's where the relief is. Because they can make the change, because they're the ones who put the information out there. They're the ones who can fix it, you know, based on what you just told us.
I really feel like if I can find an attorney that could write them a letter, that it will stop everything, because I have the statements, I have everything, and it's honest. And then they're stating that the first month the transfer took place, they never received that payment, although I have verification from Wells Fargo that you did.
Yeah.
Well, definitely. Yeah.
I don't know. I know there are avenues. You could probably look online. How can I dispute my credit score if it's incorrect? They will tell you how to do it. I think that's where you got to start.
And I'm in the process. They tell me to send in all the information then write down what my resolution is. But I want to do even more, because from 841 to 710, that's a hell of a hit for 28 cents.
Yeah, it is.
And you was never notified.
Yeah.
That's true.
And that is. That's a huge hit.
Correcting the bill pay, definitely step one as well, just with your bank.
Yeah, yeah. But what I want to do is I want to talk to this person that I know that is in that business, and I'm sure that he's probably dealt with it before. But I know, even without talking to him, we've talked about this before, because we've talked about credit scores and things of that nature, how they calculate them and all that. But there are avenues against the credit agency that you can pursue to have them correct your score.
And yes.
You know? Yeah. I mean.
Yes. And take all this derogatory.
It's a federal law that does it. There's a federal law in play that will help you.
Well, if the Consumer Financial Credit Bureau states that notification has to be made to the borrower and it wasn't made, then how can they get away with that?
Yeah. Well, that's why I think you have a avenue of relief through the system, through that federal law. But I mean, had they reported that to all the credit agencies, like all of the major players, like Equifax and all of them, or is it just?
I'm in the process of doing that.
Yeah,
now.
You don't know. I mean, I think there's like three major ones that you have to check.
Yes, I've just revised the letter three or four times, because I got to make sure I put it all.
Maybe over the break we can check on Google and find out
how to
contest your credit score. I'm sure there is.
Oh, I have that too.
You have all that? Okay.
It does seem like Linda's done her due diligence in many ways. Yeah, I'm very impressed, Linda.
Believe me, I have. And by me contacting the state attorneys, Consumer Financial, that really was a big step and a big. Because before then, they wouldn't even write me a letter. They would not talk to me. They said they didn't receive any payments. They're even charging me with coming out the check. It's on a rental property.
How did they respond to that from the state attorneys? Did they?
They're not going to do it.
They just, of course, they lied. They said the first payment that I sent was never received.
Oh.
So it was like a roll effect. But they stated on the credit report that they didn't receive at least four or five payments, including the first. But yet in the letter to the state attorneys, they only say they missed the first payment. So it's a lot of BS going back and forth. And I have all the documentation to show that they're liars, you know. And the fact that they say they did not receive the first payment, I have the front, the back, the time you receive it, the date it was taken out of the checking account. What more do I need?
That's true. And, you know, Linda, I'm looking it up online for you. And here at Equifax, there is a dispute form you can download. And then you mail
it
in to
them.
Good.
I did
that. And
I'm doing it.
I'm
doing it. What I didn't do was send it to all three at the same time.
I will go ahead and Experian.com/disputes. That's where you can get that letter. They give you a address to mail it to. There's also phone numbers for each one of these. If you go,
I got it.
You got it.
I got it.
Linda's got it.
I love it. But I just feel like I just need a little bit more power, because, like I said, 100 and some points for 28 cents. You know,
that's true. That's ridiculous. Honestly, I mean, over 8 months. That's what. Come on. So, Linda, stay on the line with our producer, Daniel. He'll pick up the phone in just a moment. We're about to go to break. And then we'll get
your
information.
So
thank you for calling,
Linda.
Excellent question.
Leave your number, and I'll be in phone contact with you.
Yes, Eddie, we'll get back to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Linda. What an incredible amount of homework she's done on her own. She's contacting all these things. With an 800-plus credit score, you do not want to see that drop to 700.
Right.
So you're listening to Legal Live, brought to you by Farron Farah on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back. You're listening to Legal Live, brought to you by Farron Farah on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Thank you so much to our caller, Linda, who had a pretty interesting question so far. If you have a question, give us a call at 855-765-1045. I'm Shefalika Botnagar, and I'm joined today by Eddie and Chuck Farah.
Yes, Shefalika, you know, just kind of reminding everybody, if you have a legal question you don't get through to us, or maybe we can't answer it for you, you can always call the Jacksonville Bar Association at 904. We've got to say the area code now. 393 for since I was born a long time ago, it's been 904 only. We never had to type in the 904, but anyway.
904-399-4486.
Jack's Bar. Legal experts, $50 to talk to them for 30 minutes. These are the lawyers who are top in their field. They donate their time to the Jack's Bar. And these are lawyers that typically charge, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars an hour. So it's the best deal going. So any legal matter, you can go online and set up an appointment and do it through the Jack's Bar. Okay, the other thing is, during the break, we were talking about this new law signed by the governor that goes into effect in October. I'm not really that familiar with it.
Oh, that's right.
Something about the homeless people, they have a right to arrest a homeless person.
Well, yeah, that's something we covered today in the news. So Governor DeSantis signed a bill essentially making it illegal to sleep in public or camp out in public. His points are that it'll make the streets, the residents, and businesses safer. Mm-hmm. And it's also contingent upon local governments. If the shelters in the local governments are full, they have to fund a temporary homeless camp. And that needs to have sanitary requirements by DCF and the city of Jacksonville, for example. So running water, clean bathrooms. There needs to be substance abuse and mental health resources as well. And no drug use or alcohol allowed on the premises. And this is money that's going to have to come out of public funding. So luckily, city of Jacksonville, at least Ron Salem was saying that, you know, we do have, you know, the council that he set up on homelessness does have a way, an avenue for permanent funding. But there are areas in the state, for example, that may not necessarily have the funds. The state of Florida, there was a member of the state legislation saying that, you know, they've upped their homelessness funding tenfold in the last few years because it is becoming a big problem. So essentially, it'll make it illegal for people to sleep in public. But there are people that have opposition positions saying that, you know, this is it's already predatory on a population of people that may not have any knowledge or information or resources at their disposal. Therefore, they are sleeping in public, not necessarily by choice. Mm-hmm. And there's already a lack of avenues for them to go. Our shelters do get full quite often. So anyway, that's kind of the situation far. It goes into effect October 1st.
Yeah, aren't they moving the Sulzbacher Center out of Jacksonville, out of downtown?
There is a new building that they're actually moving into. I can't remember which bank it is. The bank is moving, but they're taking over the building. Mm-hmm. I'll look into that. But the Sulzbacher Center, Hubbard House, you know, there's a lot of opportunities, but there's just not enough. We have a huge homeless population in the last 5 years.
Well, a lot of them, I mean,
homelessness has gone up 5%, 9%.
It does. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, we're downtown. We've been downtown, you know, my entire career.
Yeah.
45 years, we've been a downtown law firm. And, yeah, we have seen a lot of homeless people down there. Typically, they're not, I mean, people complain about it, but I've never been harassed. I've never had any bad interactions with any of them. I mean, I don't know.
Me neither.
I think, I don't know. I mean, you know, from their perspective, you know, they probably don't. I mean, if you can't drink, I mean, I don't know, I'm just saying where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're if they go to these public shelters that are provided for them, mm-hmm. then they can't do something they may want to do. I mean, they're
that's fair.
Know,
they're,
yeah, and,
that's fair.
But and so
and
then they
addiction is a serious yeah. serious issue yeah, in our yeah. country,
some
and
of them
it
can't
does result.
Some of them can't control what their yeah. their bad habits are,
and they can't necessarily yeah, maybe so, bring their shopping cart or all their
yeah,
belongings yeah. into some of these areas,
right?
And then they lose even more, and so yeah. it's a.
Yeah, from a constitutional perspective, we'll see how that works. You know, how
okay,
that
yeah, explain
I'm sure
that.
You'll see it's... if somebody gets involved, and maybe there's a I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but it sounds mm-hmm. like there may be some constitutional. This is public property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
Public property. Do the people get arrested? Do they yeah, get they detained? Get a, I mean, how do they get removed?
Yeah, they can't afford to pay a ticket. I mean, they can't extract any money out of them.
And if it is so meant to make things safer, what are the rates of danger? Like, I want to hear the crime rates of what... Yeah. These businesses or whatever, you know, I mean, is it purely economical to make the front door businesses easier to access? Or yeah. is there some type of crime rate that's happening?
I can see if you're a business
happening?
Person. Now, we know restaurants downtown have had problems with the homeless people.
Really? Okay.
You know, and they've
okay.
moved. And they've moved. There was one restaurant that was a very nice Italian restaurant downtown. And the reason why he moved out of downtown because he couldn't deal with the homeless people. They were affecting his business and affecting his customers. So he closed
yeah,
it and moved out.
It's hard.
Well, it looks like they're moving it to the Salzbach or mm-hmm. to
where?
Near the Brentwood Golf Course.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
That's so, where I mean, we used to play golf when we were young.
That's even harder for people to reach. You know, I think that as far as homeless people or unsheltered people getting out there.
It's northwest, yeah.
They have to travel to it. And they
northwest
have to,
Jackson.
There are a lot of
outreach.
Well,
you know, we talked to
areas.
The lady who was concerned about her credit score. It doesn't take much, you know, to... put somebody in the position of homelessness because, you know, with credit scores and you're not able to get credit to carry you through a certain period of time that you're having difficulty.
Right.
And, you know, it can drive you into homelessness.
Yeah.
And everything else.
There was a young woman an older woman that I saw at the intersection of Bay Meadows Southside standing on the curb with a sign that says, you know, just escaped domestic violence, have nowhere to go. Ex-military. Yeah. She was a vet, and she left her husband. And I, you know, at the time, I didn't have any cash on me, but I had a card for the Hubbard House. And I got out of my car in the left turn lane. I'd stepped out at a red light. Gentlemen, don't get mad. But I stepped out, gave her a big, huge hug, talked to her for a second, gave her my number, gave her the Hubbard House. And she had literally just escaped years and years of abuse from her military husband, and she had finally gotten out, and all she had was like a bag of clothes and a poster board, and we were able to hopefully get her to Hubbard House, where there are opportunities.
Yeah.
But domestic violence victims.
If she's ex-military, she could have gone to five-star veterans.
Well, you know what? That's a great opportunity. I will remember that.
That's an organization
that.
Our firm has been supporting and helping for years and
Tell
years.
Tell us about them a little bit.
Well, the five-star veterans, they took an old nursing
like
home
nursing
over
home.
There off of Atlantic Boulevard, completely gutted it out. I mean, it's a beautiful facility. They got a full kitchen. They provide great meals there. Mm-hmm. They've got apartments there on the property. They're really nicely appointed. It's a nice spot. And if you're an ex-veteran, you can check into the five-star veterans, and you can stay there for free.
That's
you
know? Amazing,
And they will help you get
Eddie.
A job. They will help you, acclimate back into society.
Wow.
I mean, it's a place of refuge.
Yeah,
they
try to get them employed. I mean, they're actively looking and setting up interviews.
They have training
for
there. They've got training. All kind of, they got training. But five-star veterans, that place, they got it going. And it helps a lot of people. And she can stay there as long as she needs to. And it's free. And it's clean. And it's organized. And it's a really nice facility.
I really appreciate you bringing that up. There are so many things that are unsheltered people here in Jacksonville. You know, there's so many opportunities that we may know about because we have the opportunity to listen to the radio or watch TV at the end of the day. But, you know, it's just it's a constant issue. Northeast Florida has actually seen a huge increase in unsheltered people throughout the last 5 years. We've got to step up and do better. These are people just like us. And any one of us can, with a twist of fate and turn of life, lose the opportunity to have a roof over our heads.
Richest country in the world.
Richest country, I know, right?
Sometimes you wouldn't know it.
You're listening to Legal Live, brought to you by Fair and Farrell on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Give us a call. We've got a few minutes left of our show, and we'd love hearing from you. 855-765-1045. We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back. You're listening to Legal Live, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Gentlemen, we've got a call on the line in just a few minutes left, so let's jump right into it. Steve, from the West Side, you have a street safety question. What's up, Steve?
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my phone call. Hey, I'll try to make it as brief as possible.
No, go ahead.
I live on a very public access street, 30 miles per hour, double yellow line from one end to the other. It's about 3 miles long. My street has turned into a racetrack, and I have contacted the police department. I have left voicemails. I have talked to police officers that are patrolling the area. I have contacted my councilman by phone call and email and gave him 60 days to respond. He has not. I have gone online and done a little bit of legal research on my own about the legality of putting up speed humps. Now, the difference between a speed hump and a speed bump slows you to 5 miles per hour. A speed hump slows you to 15 to 20 miles per hour. I have spoke to the manufacturer and their legal department. Now, according to everything that I've read, all I have to do is put up signs in both directions notifying them so many feet in advance that there is a speed hump in place. My neighbors tell me if I put it down, I'll be sued. What's the straight fact
on that?
Yeah, I mean,
you
because
can't.
I've done
it's
every...
a publicly owned, the city owns that street. How, you don't, I don't think you have the right to change the configuration of a public roadway.
Can you tell me what?
Why can't I go to Interstate 95 and put something in? They're going 90 miles an hour on 95, and it's causing a problem. I'm going to go do something. Now, I don't know how you can do that. I mean, who told you you could do that?
Well, I read it online. I have read some legal resources online. Plus, I spoke to the manufacturer before I decided to contact my councilman as a last resort. And, Eddie, we have done everything we can legally do.
Do you have videos of these people racing?
We have contacted police officers. We have gone to HOA meetings. We've had the traffic managers out here. I've contacted my councilman. We're not getting any help whatsoever.
Well, do you have now, video? I tell you, also, why don't you call Ben Beck? Call Ben Beck.
Well, like, what county do you live in? Let me look up those jurisdictions.
Are you in Duval?
Duval.
Okay. Duval County.
Do you have video of these people speeding down or racing down this road?
I have taken videos of it.
Oh, yeah. So you have proof that it's happening. It's not just
If I had a radar gun, I could easily tell people are doing 50, 60 miles an hour down here.
Well,
but see, they're wise to where the police are, and they turn down a different road to avoid it.
Yeah, but if you got the video, and you can send that to somebody that can make some noise, like Ben Becker, who looks at that kind of stuff, I think
that's... Well, I'll be honest with you. We have done everything that we can do legally. As I said before, who we have contacted, and we keep getting excuses, we keep getting ignored. And there's also children on this street that have to walk down the road to catch the school bus.
Okay.
Well, is this done like at night during the day? Is it a bunch of teenagers? Is it the same people over and over again?
Is it organized? Like there's multiples?
Yeah,
because organized street racing, JSO does have a organized street racing unit, and they are very active towards combating this. And they'll do is infiltrate and track and then come through and bust them all. So tell me who you if you don't mind, did you speak with the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office Department, or did you just call their a non-emergency number?
I have done both.
Okay. And do you have a specific sergeant or agent that it's referencing? Because I'm sitting here looking at some notes. Maybe I can find you the right person to call.
Well,
what was their response? Okay.
Sir?
What was their response when you reached out?
They just basically ignore it. Well, you know, we've done all we can do. We've written so many tickets on this road, and you know, it's not getting any better.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is it a certain time of the day, like Saturday night? Is it a time when?
No.
It's just random? It's just any time? Okay.
It is.
Because I thought maybe if it was every Saturday night, you could call the police where they're back out here again, and they'll send somebody. But, all right. So
but I just wanted to ask you the legal aspect, because I've already been told, well, if you put it down, you'll be sued. I'm
I have some problems.
Right to,
yeah, you're putting yourself in.
Yeah, I don't think I have
property on this road. I have people visiting my home. My wife and I have to back out of the driveway to go somewhere, and it's just getting dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really, truly is.
It is dangerous. I don't think legally there's a way for you to adjust. I think Eddie's right. You can't really put anything on a public street for that.
You're not really. I mean, that's... Have you gone through the state? Have you talked to the city, like the people who maintain the roads and all that, to see if they
An HOA association meeting. We have had the traffic manager and some of his department out here, and they have done nothing.
Yeah.
Their excuse is, well, we can't control how people drive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just typical city baloney.
Yep.
They just don't want to do anything.
Yep. You know, God forbid somebody will get hurt, and then that's when they start doing it. Somebody has to die,
or exactly.
Somebody has to get whacked before they do anything.
I want to give
you... Well, now that you...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Now that you mentioned that, my former councilman was out here one time involving a city accident where a car flipped upside down trying to pass around somebody, and mm-hmm. I told him, I said, you see that house right there?
Mm-hmm.
You better not let it be me or my wife, because this is as nice as I'm going to be.
Yeah. You know, I have an email for you. Do you have something to write down, Steve? Because I want to give you the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office email that I contact. Therefore, you can talk to the public information officer. They can direct you to at least listening to what your issue is. They can look up your street. You give them more details, and they might be able to give you some opportunities. There's another thing Jacksonville Sheriff's Office does where they register cameras. So if you have a Ring camera, for example, outside your home, you can actually register that footage with them. Therefore, they can access and track speeders. So do you have something to write down?
If you'll give me just 1 second, I'm getting something right now.
No problem.
Please go ahead.
All right. I would address it to Officer Christian Hancock, and the email is pio@jaxsheriff.org. pio@jaxsheriff.org.
And what do they do?
And that's a public information officer, and Officer Hancock is incredible. He's really useful and helpful and very kind and considerate, not just to journalists and reporters, but he has a way of finding out information and getting back to you. And so it is a little bit a further step than the non-emergency line, and I recommend just giving them an email and give them details about your street. Ask them if there's a way to register cameras, if that's still something that's a possibility that they do. Does that help, Steve?
Thank you for your help. I really appreciate it. Thanks, I look forward to this every Saturday.
Yeah, man, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate
it.
Thank you so much for listening. Yes, well, we've had a great show today so far, and I just want to say thank you to Linda for her great question, and Steve. You're listening to Legal Live, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. We'll be back again next week. Thank you all so much for listening.
Is there anything more satisfying than finding something that perfectly lines up with your taste and checks all the boxes? Like a suit from Indochino. Their suits are made to measure and totally customizable with endless options. Choose the cut, fabric, lining, and more for the suit of your dreams at a surprisingly affordable price. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's 10% off at Indochino.com with code PODCAST.